On this episode of Star Trek Universe, we are talking about Prodigy 105, Terra Firma, right after these words from our mystery sponsors.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then, Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now, Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome into the Star Trek Universe Podcast, the podcast where you get to listen in on the continuing Star Trek conversation that two lifelong friends have been having since they were 6 years old. My name is Matthew Carroll.
I am David C. Robertson, and that is not his real voice.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what accent I was doing there. I think it started kind of German, went more British toward the end. I'm really bad at accents, like really, really bad.
It sounded like you were doing the Count from Sesame Street. It sounded vaguely Transylvanian.
Yeah, had the Eastern European thing going. It shifted a lot for that just being the intro. It shifted a lot. Let's talk about Prodigy because what were you saying?
It was funny because me and Bethany earlier were watching The Challenge, and there's a Romanian guy on there, and he was like, "If you want to calm me down, I will drink your blood."
That's funny. So Prodigy, man, last episode for this mid-season, we got so it's not coming back till Discovery is over.
I think it's coming back in January.
Okay, so we get a few weeks without it and then it comes back, man. I had the sweetest thing. I was hanging out with my niece yesterday up in Huntsville. And she comes to me and she's like, "Oh, Matt, I saw there's a new episode of Star Trek Prodigy." Or she said, "Star Trek, the one, you know, the one for kids." And I was like, "Oh, did you see an ad for it or something?" And she was like, no. It was Tuesday night or whatever. Like, she knew what night it came on.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Aw, that's so sweet that my niece is paying attention to when Star Trek comes on." It's great. I'm excited about it.
Most 25-year-olds don't know to check.
I do a podcast about it, and I don't know what day it comes on still. Is it Tuesday nights?
I don't know. No, I believe it drops Wednesday nights.
That's right. Us. That's right, because Tuesdays is Marvel, Wednesdays is Star Trek. I'm trying to get that straight, but I we can't ever meet on Wednesdays or Thursdays, so it's always like Friday or Saturday before, or Sunday before we can get together. So
yeah, so it's kind of a non-starter.
Yeah, it's just like I just watch it before we get together. That's all I know.
It's a moo point, a cow's opinion.
Moo point. Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
I think you might have that phrase wrong, but we'll just move on.
It's from Friends.
Oh, is it?
Joey says it's a moo point. They're like, "It's moot." He's like, "No, it's a moo point. It's a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter."
Oh man. Okay, so Prodigy, let's do it. Let's talk about the show.
Picking up from last week.
Yeah, they've been trapped on the planet. With the stay planet that's trying to convince them to stay. It was a great, great little turn. I felt like these two episodes, this felt like that classic thing that Doctor Who will do where it does two episodes, but they're very much just one story.
Yeah.
And you know, Star Trek does it too, but, I'm wondering if this being a, animated show, but they're sort of doing very similar to the formats are similar to Star Trek, like the planet, the setup, the figuring out one problem, then the last third act is like defeating the monster or whatever, in some novel way. I wonder if we'll get a lot of these sorts of two-parters, because the classic narrative fit for Star Trek is about that 45-minute mark, you know?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this will be like the template for how we go going forward, because obviously the first episode was that way and this episode was that way.
Slowly inching kids into long-form storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And now think about it, Doctor Who was often those like 22-minute episodes back in the day when it would do those two-parters too.
Yeah, which I've seen a few people who are complaining that, like, man, you know, kids aren't going to understand an overarching story throughout a season. And like the amount of people who are like, Doctor Who has been doing that since like 1963. Screw you.
Yeah. See, like that's part of a thing I've been saying for years about Star Trek. Like it sounds dumb and it makes me sound dumb and I'm fine with it. But like a lot of what I know about science comes from Star Trek. A lot of what I know about like the scientific method and understanding, I mean, logic in general comes from Star Trek. And like, I have conversations with my friends who are actual scientists all the time, and I'm able to follow it, at least have some like reasonable knowledge about what they're talking about, because I watched a lot of Star Trek growing up, you know?
Yeah, me too. But to be fair, and I don't say this in a negative way, it's going to sound like it, but a lot of what I've learned about storytelling, bullshit, you know, story devices to make things work, and headcanon also comes from Star Trek. So I feel like Star Trek has made me a very well-rounded individual.
Yeah, man. Like, making headcanon bullshit work, that and the Bible.
That was needlessly divisive.
It stopped recording. God was punishing me. Okay. But no, like, that's my point. Like, the way that, like, we learn a lot from these shows, and, like, the fact that people think of things as this show is for kids, so it can't have these things like long form. It can't have these higher concepts. And I just disagree with that. And that's what I've been saying for years about, like, I want there to be a show made for like everybody in Star Trek. And I'm hoping we get some of that with Strange New Worlds. It'd be awesome if Prodigy could be the kind of show that like introduces kids to Star Trek. And then something like Strange New Worlds could be that next, like, step up, you know?
Yeah.
To introduce them to the longer storytelling, the adult problems, like, the actual crew and everything, you know? I think that'd be super fun.
And based on what I've heard, that's what they're going to do with Strange New Worlds, but...
Yeah. I hope it's not as... Hope it's not as dark, and I hope it's a little less serialized. As much as I like the serialized thing, I do miss my nugget-shaped Star Trek. My Dino Nugget Star Trek.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, we finally know what this thing in the engine room is. It is a protostar engine.
Yeah. It has a baby star inside. A
baby star, as Rock Talk says.
Real Doc Ock vibes here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, the Sam Raimi movies, that's what he's doing with his eight arms, or like his six arms. He's keeping a small sun contained.
Oh, right. That's why there was a...
And they have to drown it at the end of the movie. Yeah.
That was dumb.
It was real weird. Like, can't you do like... I don't know. That seems... needlessly convoluted way to get robot arms.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I love those movies, that one in particular, but like that's a silly part of it.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyway, so the Doc Ock device is down in the bowels of the ship. Where were we?
One of my issues, and I think this is the first big misstep of Prodigy for me. And it's not like a big misstep. It's just the first thing I've seen that I've just went, eh.
Okay.
I needed to see Dal coming around to saving Quinn, because like he walked away and he was like, you know, screw that. And then like the next thing we see is like them saving her. And he was like, you did help us out that one time. I'm like, I needed to see the change of heart. I needed to see the catalyst for it. It felt weird and rushed to have that off screen.
Totally agree. I felt like that was an important character moment. And I needed to know, is it Rock Talk who's the heart of the team who's going to convince him? Is it you know, who on the team is going to look at him and give him that sort of like, hey, as our leader, it disappoints us that you would feel that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Rock Talk does say at one point, but she saved Murph, you know, like, and so I kind of expected that to be Rock Talk who brought him around, or like, you know, maybe Janeway teaching about the ideals of the Federation and not leaving someone behind like that. Like, it could have been anybody, but it would have been informative to who all these characters are. And instead it just happened off screen. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And the other thing that really bugged me, I think, well, there are a couple of things. Like, I'm not sure why Janeway didn't send those cleaners out when the Protostar seemed like way worse than it was in the last episode. Remember? Cause it looked like it was just completely overwhelmed by the.
Right.
And then when we see it again, it's just like, there are like three of them on there and it's like landed somewhere else. And I was like, that's weird.
Well, also, I believe that was when, Gwen had the ship. And so there were lots of other functions of the ship to use. This was her trying to figure out what she could do with just the underlying whatever, you know.
Yeah, I did like the what would the real Janeway do.
Me too.
It was a nice reminder that she's not Janeway.
Yes.
And that she can very much chart her own course if she wanted.
She also has a line in this episode that she asks the computer, what about a former captain? Would they be allowed to do it? And like, right. So it gives the idea that like, okay, Janeway is no longer a captain. She's former. Like, what does it mean? What is the Protostar? I'm just like, I'm piecing. It's so fun to have this like show that's designed for kids, but it's got this interesting little tidbits that aren't just tidbits. They're big story parts, like Janeway, the Protostar Drive. Like, as an adult Star Trek fan, I'm getting to try to piece this like mystery together of like, what is the Protostar? Like, I don't even think a lot of kids aren't even thinking, like, they're not thinking, does this fall between TNG or TOS? You know what I mean? Like, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about Dahl and him escaping, and we get to have all these other fun little like geeky discussions. It's kind of a perfect balance for me.
Yeah. I really loved the reveal when it made it seem like the Diviner was actually going to make it onto the ship. Mm-hmm. And then the reveal that that was just the planet showing him his own desire.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty great. Pretty great.
And I love that we got to Gwen's redemption of her, you know, realization, oh, he chose the ship.
Yeah. Screw him. I don't know if it's her redemption fully yet, but it is definitely her deciding who she's with. Now they've got to decide to accept her. And I think that'll be the next couple episodes probably.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely like some nice moments here between Dahl and, Gwen sitting in the ship, looking up at the stars, talking about things. Like, that was all really nice, but like,
yeah.
Then in the end, Dahl was still talking about leaving her, which is why I totally agree with you. It was important that we see why he changed his mind, and we do not see that.
We might see it in a later episode where she's like, why did you choose to blah, blah, blah? But for this episode, it rings a little hollow.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of Janeway a few minutes ago, like it was weird to me that Janeway needed to pull things up on the screen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She's in the computer.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen it. We've definitely seen the Doctor pull things up on a screen and look at it.
Well, I agree. I totally agree that that's the way it's established canon. But now that I see Janeway as a little more integral to the ship because she seems so like, you know, integrated and she's like controlling all the lower functions and like she seems like she's doing a lot all at once. And it just seems weird that she has like, put it on the screen, and I'm like, can't you just access that somehow?
Mm-hmm.
Seems weird.
I know when
you're by yourself, or at least.
Yeah, it didn't really bother me.
It shouldn't have. Probably. it's just like I don't know why I thought about it at that point. Like I never thought about it during Voyager, but then suddenly seeing her do it, I was like,
yeah,
that was a little weird.
One of my favorite slash most frustrating things about Star Trek is seeing the fandom react to things in such a, like, I see so many people have problems with things I just never would have thought about. Like,
right.
I saw people complaining about the fact they're using a protostar, a baby star, to harness energy, and that would be greater than warp drive. And I feel like I'm over here in the background, like raising my hand and going, the Romulans have been using an artificial quantum singularity for their warp. Yeah. They said so in TNG. Help. Why can't this work?
It seemed like it was also hooked into their warp drive. Like, they're at warp and they use the protostar to like boost it or something. It?
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
Yep. I was fine with it. But the episode was fun. I didn't really have much of a problem. I did like the bit where they're all sitting in the Klingon ship and talking about what they saw. And
yeah.
For whatever reason, I really latched onto Jenkum Pog in his statement that he didn't realize how much he missed home until he got to that planet.
Yeah. 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 We had talked about it last week, how like learning that about Jenkum Pog, that he had a history and had a family, and like, unlike these guys who don't seem to know where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Jenkum Pog lived a different life, and he lived in the, and he mentioned his, the cryo ship again.
Yeah.
So we're really getting a sense of his backstory, which is fun.
And I very much appreciate, it doesn't feel like they're talking down to the audience. Like, even though this is a family show and not specifically for kids, but also they're not talking down to, like, I don't feel like they are anyway. Like, I love that they are sort of naturally just letting little character bits slip in, instead of just doing exposition dumps,
mm-hmm.
which I hate. I hate exposition dumps with a passion. Yeah. I'm really digging the show. And, I saw someone, one of my friends on Twitter was saying that he was watching the show with their kids, and, Dal and Gwen are looking up at the stars. And the younger kids are like, oh man, they're going to date. And then like the older kids were like, they should date. Like, their first real Trekkie debate.
No, that's cute.
Don't bring in that dating into my serious Star Trek, man.
Awesome. Oh man. I loved the use of the sword this episode, or like her
splint weapon. Yeah,
using it as a splint was great, and then in the end using it as an arm extender to wrap around Dahl to fly out, like both really cool uses of that thing. And I don't know, I just love that little device. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Really fun. Just because I watched this planet's manifesting all their fears, you know, things they have to fight. Because this, you know, it turned it from dreams to nightmares this episode. And so mm-hmm. I just have my nose Stay Puffed Marshmallow Planet.
It's Murder World.
Yeah.
Or Murder Planet, whatever it was.
I love that line. That line was so good.
I really wanted it to be called Larry.
Well, I was talking about the other line. I forget the Diviner's, partner's name or whatever. Destructobot.
What was it? What is it? Mordok? No. Modok? Something.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Destructobots standing before them. They all look really scared. And Jenkum Pog loosens up and says, Murder Planet, you got us again. You old so-and-so. Like, it's just like such a great delivery of that line. Oh, so good.
I don't know of anyone but Jason Matsoukas who could have done that quite like that.
Yeah, it's a really good delivery of that. I like the acid rain. Acid rain, a novel way of digestion.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good. Oh, but man. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the rest of the show, man. I'm enjoying it, honestly, about as much as I thought I would. Once I knew who was involved, I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Okay. Like, if this fails for me, it's going to be mind-boggling.
Yeah, 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 for sure, man. Yeah, I'm down. I'm digging it a lot. Other lines I liked, Zero says, decides to try to telepathically link with the planet. Uh-huh. And Zero says,
I can ask it its name.
Perhaps I could ask it its name. And it like, they put their hand to their head and they say, nope, it just wants to eat us.
Yep. Like, I loved it.
Really good comic timing there. And this is the other one from Zero, when a doll, without asking, picks Zero up and uses them to...
As a flashlight.
As a flashlight. Yeah. Zero says, I don't know how to feel in this moment, but I'm happy to help.
Yeah. I actually dug Gwen using the phaser to start a fire. It's like...
Yeah. And
lob it at the creature. That was neat. I was like, it feels like Star Trek meets Frankenstein.
Yeah, man. Get them, torches. So where do you think they're going to end up? Where does Proto Warp take you?
I don't know. I'm excited to find out. Like, me too. I hope it's not just some random place. Like,
yeah, we just,
you know what I mean?
We just discussed this on the last episode, Discovery 401, where we're getting this, like, they discussed three different types of updated drives, and now we have this proto warp, and I'm like, what does it all mean? Like, how many different warps are they gonna have?
Yeah, I part of me thinks it might be fun if, I don't think it will, but it might be fun if they wind up in that weird, like, quantum realm with that giant face. If like a TNG, but
I don't think I remember that.
Yeah, I think it was like the Traveler messed with the console and they wound up in that weird like quantum realm or something.
Yeah.
Like a galaxy beyond their galaxy.
Yeah, and they got beyond regular space and it was like, they were like these big globule things outside the windows.
Yeah. And then Zordon appeared.
Yeah.
Rangers. Wait, who are you?
Fenris Rangers. Assemble.
good pull.
Danke.
And on that note, I guess that's about all I got to say about Prodigy. Anything else you going to say?
No, I don't think so. Like, I think it was a fairly straightforward episode.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of small missteps in the storytelling execution, I'm good with it. I'm looking forward to it coming back. I'm actually bummed that it's going away in lieu of Discovery, because I think I've enjoyed this one more than Discovery.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's been more exciting for me, I think, than Discovery has sometimes, but I don't know. Discovery is like an old shoe at this point. You know, it's kind of well worn. Yeah. Every season's a little different, but like, I get it. I get what they're going with.
The shine is rubbed off a bit. Yeah.
A little bit. I'm less like, oh my gosh, what is Discovery going to be like this season? And more like, yeah, you know, good old Discovery. It's good. I like it, but I know it. And like, Prodigy has been like this interesting experiment for Star Trek, like total departure, you know?
Yeah.
I dig it a lot. Well, we'll get back to it in January, and by then we'll be close to the end of the season of Discovery, and really close. I think February, we get Picard coming.
We do.
That's crazy.
And then I think March, they announced March, it was Strange New Worlds. So.
What? In March?
I think so. I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it'll overlap Picard and Strange New Worlds?
Maybe? I don't think. Well, that's what you said before, but... Let's see, Picard season 2. Let me just look it up because I feel like I'm not right.
Right. Yeah.
Or no, sorry, Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, Picard season 2 is February. I just saw. Don't know about Strange New Worlds at all.
I'm real bad with dates and stuff.
Yeah.
So, me too. Let's see. I'm still seeing 2022.
Okay.
They're not saying yet.
Yeah, I gotta imagine. Maybe they'll start doing this thing where they're like handing off the shows by having one overlap week, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. Jolan True.
Live long. Live prosperous.
Thank you for listening to the Star Trek Universe Podcast, a Stranded Panda production. If you'd like to hear more from David C. Robertson, check out the DC On Screen podcast or maladjusted.tv for his web videos. If you'd like to hear more from Matthew Carroll, check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast or listen to his music. Just search for Matthew Carroll anywhere you get music.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.